Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, a parenting comedy podcast hosted by two working moms of three kids who are somehow surviving life with boys. Not that we make it hard. We are delightful.
You can download this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Share your thoughts about the show. The parental sanity you save may be your own, or possibly my mother's.
Last night when we were talking to Lola about making a plan for this winter,
yeah,
because he's taking a leave of absence, I absolutely nailed it with how I've been feeling. I looked at him and I said, "You're a goddamn freeloader." And he looked at me and he goes, "I know."
At least he's honest. That's my wife, Ellen.
And that's my wife, Bonnie.
I Shouldn't Have Had Kids is brought to you by our three boys and their sweet kindness in permitting us to share some of their stories.
Some of them. We're podcasting for parental sanity.
Ours and yours.
And it would not be possible without those three boys, Tigger, Lola, and Shy Guy.
Thanks, guys. You know, those are actually their nicknames.
Oh, thank God.
We use those for the boys to protect their identity. You'll find the behind-the-scenes story of the nicknames in our show trailer. So go ahead. As we like to say, what are you waiting for? Give it a listen.
On this podcast, we say things out loud that most parents keep to themselves and probably should.
You might be joining us because you're looking for good parenting advice.
That would be your first mistake.
We're just a couple of moms figuring out on the fly and cracking each other up with the stories of what we like to call miss the mark parenting, inspired by the ridiculous behavior of our three sons
and the ridiculous behavior of ourselves. Speaking
of
which,
yes,
this week we're going to talk about how to get your kids to move their butts.
You've got to move it.
That's right. We're talking exercise, healthy habits in a digital age.
Inspired by Lola's suggestion. Thank God. Lola to the rescue.
Yep.
Again.
Yep.
He's our middle child. But first. Let's get to the shit list. And this week it really is the shit list, because I have to start before we get into the meat of our shit list matter. I really need to start with the Emmys.
That's mine too.
Schitt's Creek.
Oh my God. Bonnie.
You're reading my mind. Stop breathing my air. And get out of my head.
But let's just take a pause. How did we
figure
so,
out?
Okay, we heard about Schitt's Creek through one of the hosts on a podcast that we listened to. She was talking about Schitt's Creek.
Is that right?
And yes, and how happy it made her.
Oh.
And then I think someone else in our life told you, like, almost prescribed it. Like, if you need to laugh,
you need to
as
listen
like a
to
therapy.
Yes.
You need to watch Schitt's Creek. Just don't ask questions. Just watch it.
Yes.
And so you started, and me, in typical fashion,
that's right.
Was like, I'll look over your shoulder and act uninterested until I'm interested.
That's
but
right.
It took like one episode, and I was like, what is this superb writing?
Ridiculous comedy. And the acting. Oh, my God.
It's just a solid show.
Okay, guys, we've been telling you for half a year at least to watch Schitt's Creek. Mm-hmm. If you haven't yet, now you have to, because they swept the nommies. I mean,
The nommies. They swept the nommies and then won all the Emmys.
They
hey.
Did. They won all the Emmys. They won Outstanding Comedy Series, Lead Actor in a Comedy Series, Lead Actress in a Comedy Series, Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, and Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series. Oh my God.
That's right.
That's a lot. So
Eugene Levy. Sweep. It's a sweep.
I've never heard that, actually, of a show winning all of those. Well, I never followed the Emmys.
No, it did.
So.
I'll give you this quick blurb, and then say who these actors are.
Okay.
So this is from Wikipedia, of course. And yes, I donate to Wikipedia. During the 2020 Emmys, the show became the first ever comedy or drama series to sweep the four acting categories.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
And then here's a little fun sidebar. Hang on. First ever comedy or drama series to sweep the four acting categories,
okay,
and one of only four live action shows where all the principal actors have won at least one Emmy.
Wow.
And they're in the company of All in the Family, The Golden Girls, and Will and Grace.
Oh, Will and Grace?
Will and Grace, which is pretty funny.
It was
pretty funny.
Have you ever gone back? It does not hold water.
Did it not age well?
No, the Golden Girls aged much better.
The Golden Girls is just stupid good television. I'm sorry. From like, I love the Golden Girls. Yeah, but anyway.
All right. So here's who won what. Lead actor in a comedy series. Eugene Levy, of course. His eyebrows alone took an Emmy.
I think we were coming up with a new word.
The NAMI?
Took a NAMI.
The eyebrows took a NAMI and Eugene took an Emmy. It was awesome. It was an amazing night for that man. Lead actress, Catherine O'Hara, of course. Moira got her Emmy, which she'd been looking for the entire series. Supporting actor in a comedy series, Daniel Levy. And Annie Murphy took supporting actress. She is so funny in this.
A little
bit
of Alexis.
I think we probably need to play that again.
Boop, boop.
All right. So if you haven't watched it yet, this is your chance. This is your opportunity. They are now streaming the entire series on Netflix.
And you're not like, it's not old. And you know,
no. God,
what am I trying to say? It's still relatively recent, obviously, because they were just nominated for Emmys.
Yeah.
The series finale happened in April.
Right.
So everything is available.
Yep.
You could, if you're a binger, you can binge it. If you want to space it out, you can space it out. And I will tell you that this is what Bonnie and I did. We watched the entire thing except the series finale. Then we watched it again.
We went back.
And then we waited like 6 weeks. And finally, I think it was like June of this year, watched the series finale.
Oh my God.
And I just cried our eyes out. We didn't
cry.
We didn't want to say goodbye.
No.
There's really great character development in this series.
Yeah, it's really funny. If you have seen Schitt's Creek before, go back and watch the pilot because, the characters are themselves from the get-go, but they are two-dimensional. And so it's really interesting to go back and see them and you're like, oh yeah, that's funny, that's clever, but this person is so flat, I can hardly stand it. So it actually takes a couple of episodes to get into the show. And then there's one episode that is pivotal, and I can't remember which season it's in. But if you've seen it before, to go back to that first pilot is so much fun. There is this one scene where all of these people are coming into the house and taking all of their things, and Alexa just stands there.
Alexis.
Jeez.
Okay.
I thought I was speaking to a speaker.
Hey, Alexis, Alexa, NAMI, Emmy.
It's been a long...
Let's call the whole thing off.
A long week. She just stands there going, ew, 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 ew. It's so funny. Anyway. Hats off to Schitt's Creek because they deserved every single one of those. Seriously. And Daniel Levy, I don't know what he's got up his sleeve, but he's in the middle of it. I know that. I think COVID put a short break on it, but I think they're back in production, whatever it is he's doing. I'm sure people who are more in the know, like anybody who has Google open in front of them right now, knows more about what Daniel Levy is doing. And for those of you who don't know, Eugene Levy is the dad. Daniel Levy is his son, and he produced the show. And then Daniel Levy's sister is also in the show. She plays the gal who owns the restaurant. What's her name?
She works at the restaurant.
Oh, right, right. She works at the restaurant.
Her name is Twyla.
Twyla. And Twyla's lines, Twyla has throwaway lines that will slay you.
Yeah.
Pay attention to her from the very first time you see her, because the things she says about her family, I swear to God, she must come from my family. She is talking about my family.
Every single character is so well crafted.
I know. We
in
just
this
go
show
on and on about Schitt's Creek, but you will too as soon as you see it. And for those of you who have seen it, you probably did a happy dance along with us. We didn't watch the Emmys, but boy, I tell you what, when those notifications started coming across my phone, just made my day, and we really needed some good news this weekend.
I want to give just one more quick shout out, because also from our same favorite podcast, same said host of the podcast was talking about the show.
Is there some reason why you're not saying my favorite murder?
Yeah, my favorite murder.
Okay.
I'm just trying to not take the focus away from us.
I love Karen and Georgia.
Yeah, but if someone were to listen, they might jump ship because they are like super highly produced.
Yeah, they are. They're really good.
Karen mentioned Watchmen. And so we got into that and watched it. And the lead actor in that, actress, Regina King,
who's badass.
Phenomenal. She won Best Actress in a Drama.
I'm telling you what, that character.
She won a NAMI. So, quick shout out to her because she, in her acceptance speech, basically gave a huge shout out to RBG. Yeah. Mm-mm. And I have a feeling that's where you're taking us next.
I was going to say we needed that good Sunday because this last weekend was the weekend following the announcement that RBG had finally given up the ghost, given up the good fight. Mm. And it just was, I tell you what, 4 o'clock on Friday. I think that came across at 3:30,
right around there,
4 o'clock. Stick a
West
fork
Coast
in me.
Time.
Jesus, I was so devastated by that. Mm-hmm. Everybody that I know was devastated. We were all texting and it was just, you know, people were crying over text to each other. We should have just gotten on a big Zoom call.
Yeah.
And everybody wept together because it was a killer. That woman, the notorious RBG.
I did not realize until I watched that documentary, which I think was a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, my whole growing up, she was a, well, I mean, I was a teenager when she was nominated by Bill Clinton for the Supreme Court.
But yeah.
My like modern day recollection of RBG is as a Supreme Court justice. Right. I didn't really know that much about her career.
I don't think a lot of people did,
like,
actually.
As a judge in D.C.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. And then I saw that documentary and I thought, holy shit.
How did I not know this?
How she argued in front of the Supreme Court like a badass.
Yeah,
and
she
had
was
such a vision for gender equality by playing this amazing patient game of long ball.
Yeah.
And she kept putting cases in front of the Supreme Court. Look at how these men are being treated poorly. Look at how this widow is being treated poorly. Look at, or widower.
Yeah.
Look at how this guy in the army can't get the same allowance. Like, and they're like, you're right, you're right, you're right. And she was setting a gender equality precedent.
She was brick by brick, she was creating the foundation for gender equality.
Brilliant.
And she was actually criticized by the feminist movement at the time, saying, you're not taking big enough bites out of this, you're not moving quickly enough. And she just looked at them and went,
hold my beer.
Hold my beer. That's right.
Hold my beer.
You know, she argued, you bring up the widower, Stephen Weisenfield, who I think is who you're talking about, whose school teacher wife had been the family's primary
That's
breadwinner.
Right.
And she passed away. She left her husband and an infant son, and he was unable to collect Social Security benefits because they were just meant for women.
That's crazy.
And so she argued on his behalf. And here's the very, very cool thing. Ginsburg and Weisenfeld kept in touch until she died. And in fact, she used her connections, oh, I might cry, to help get baby Jason into Columbia Law School. She officiated at his 1998 wedding.
Oh, my God.
As well as at his father's 2014 remarriage at the age of 71.
Oh.
Is that the sweetest thing you've ever heard?
Yes.
I know. I'm teary now.
But oh, my God.
I mean, on a very personal level, she was something else. The woman could do fucking 20 push-ups.
Yeah. When she was, like, you know, trying to get into remission.
I know.
And she's like, what, 85? Or
yeah, it's crazy.
Oh,
but on
God.
A macro level, she absolutely, if you are a woman in this world and you work, you only realize the benefits as a working woman because of RBG. And that's all there is to it. And it always slays me because I'm of a certain age now. And so I have seen this happen a couple of times where the new generation of women are like, oh, yeah, you know, those old type feminists, they just, you know, we're a different sort. You know, we believe in equality, and it's a great line. It sounds terrific, ladies. I love it. And I wish you were right. But the fact is, is that as soon as you get mommy tracked, as soon as you start having kids, you will realize you're wrong.
Yeah.
We're still not making dollar for dollar. We still don't have the same rights, but we have a hell of a lot more thanks to RBG.
Mm-hmm.
And God rest her soul, you know.
May she
prove as troublesome wherever she is now as she was on this earth. Good trouble.
Yeah.
In the words of John Lewis, what
a
year. God,
John
I hate
Lewis
2020.
And RBG Jesus. Are like just having a party right now. I think probably we can't talk about her, though, without talking about the
Marty.
Sweet love story and the absolute rock star husband who got it right from the very beginning, who was like, what's the problem here? I mean, I absolutely love them.
She said,
what a great couple.
She said of Marty that he was the first man she had ever met who understood the absolute need for women's equality, who treated her like his equal. And in fact, she only became a Supreme Court justice because he campaigned on her behalf. He had a letter writing campaign, a phone calling campaign. He made it happen.
Yeah. They moved to D.C. when she was appointed to the whatever,
D.C. court.
Whatever appeals, whatever. I hate that I don't know what it is.
the federal court
well,
in D.C.?
Well, as soon as we get into all those circuits, yeah. I kind of lose the long title. I apologize.
She was, if you haven't seen, there's two movies that you have to see. You yes. really have to
you
see
You have
them.
To see the documentary.
Right. The documentary about her life and then...
On the Basis of Sex.
On the Basis of Sex. And they are both brilliant, actually. I loved both of them.
I only saw the Netflix, or excuse me, it's not Netflix. It's CNN Presents. It's the RBG documentary. I didn't see On the Basis of Sex.
Oh my God. We're going to watch
know,
that this
weekend.
We
need to watch it this weekend.
Okay.
But I will close out my... RBG tribute on the shit list by saying that if you do watch the documentary, the whole thing is delightful. She's just a powerhouse.
Yes.
And someone to get to know and, you know, really a game changer. And it's a huge loss for this country. Yeah. It really is. And if you don't feel that, you're kind of an asshole.
Regardless of your politics.
That's right. But in the documentary, they show her, or you get to see her watching clips
of SNL.
Of SNL, where Kate McKinnon is playing her.
So funny.
And I think she's on like Weekend Update and she's throwing shade at whoever and calling them Ginsburns and then like dancing to the like effectiveness of her Ginsburgs. And you can see Ruth
laughing.
Well, she doesn't exactly laugh.
No,
but she thinks
she does,
it's funny.
She does.
And it will make your day. It'll absolutely make your day watching her. I think that's when you know you've arrived. If I'm ever portrayed on Saturday Night Live,
you're gonna just die and go to heaven.
That'll
at that
be
point.
It. That's it, right there.
You know what Marty said before his death in 2010 about his life?
What
he reportedly told a friend: "I think the most important thing I have done is enable Ruth to do what she has done."
Oh,
and you know what? She couldn't cook for shit, to tell you the truth. She just didn't have it in her, and so he did a lot of the cooking. And he became really fond of baking.
Nice.
There is a cookbook.
Oh my God.
Of his recipes.
Are you
that
serious?
You can. I'm totally serious. I did not know it. If I'd had time, I would have ordered it before we came down here. But it was just such a sweet little piece of the story. But here's the cool thing about their marriage that I love. Not only did he campaign on her behalf, and then he baked and cooked for her and Jane and what was the son's name?
James.
James and Jane?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. That would be so confusing as a child. Did she say Jane? No, she said James.
That is so judgmental.
Sorry. Sorry, Ruth. Anyway, he got sick. He came down with cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer when they were in law school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was prostate cancer, if I remember right. I'm not sure.
I want to say testicular.
Oh, could be. It was somewhere down in the Netherlands.
Wow.
And so anyway, he was at home and he was undergoing treatment. Mm-hmm. And she went to they were at Columbia at this point. She went to school all day.
Yep.
She then collected notes from his fellow students in the classes that he was taking. They would all take notes for Marty, and she would collect the notes. She would come home. She would feed the kids. She would get the kids in bed. She would lecture Marty and go through his notes with
yep.
him and make sure
transcribed he transcribed them for him, I think.
And then, starting at 2 in the morning, she would begin studying for her own classes. And she lived that entire, I think it was over a year, mm-hmm. on 3 hours of sleep a night. 3 hours of sleep. What a badass. I'm telling you what, the woman was something else.
That's what happens when you have like that kind of connection with your partner.
I think so.
Or you're just, you know, lifting. I think she probably only needed 3 hours because she was just so empowered.
He that is a great word. He empowered her every mm-hmm. step of the way.
As we should for our partners.
Yep. Period.
Period. That's the end of the story. Thank you, everybody.
Goodbye.
We'll see you next week for episode 45. Well, Ruth, you're an inspiration. And while this topic idea came from Lola, which was really awesome, he has a wealth of good ideas for our show.
Mm-hmm.
I think all children should look to Justice Ginsburg
as their role model.
How to stay physically fit.
That's
because
right.
She's... In the documentary, you will see her working out in the Justice's Only gym with her trainer, who's like an ex-army guy. And she's like, 80 gajillion years old and on round 4 bout with cancer.
Yeah.
And she's lifting more weight than I could possibly lift at this point.
It's really remarkable.
Yeah. She just was unstoppable.
True grit.
So the question is to you, Bonnie Lou.
Yes.
How in the hell do we get our boys to exercise?
Well, we've tried so many ways.
Yeah. So
I think that during COVID, more than ever, it is really important to keep our families healthy, right? It's healthy and strong. But man, if you have kids, trying to get them off the couch potato circuit is super difficult, especially if they've got a little gaming device in their hands.
Yeah. There's a lot working against us.
Yes.
I mean, I guess one way is, and just in fact, what I just said, try to be a role model.
Mm. I think
to your kids.
We do a really good job of that, being a role model.
Well, we do a really good job being a role model, but how do you measure the success? What are the metrics? What are the success markers of being a good role model? Because let's talk about us. We eat really well.
Yes.
We do. We eat really well.
Well, except for my 4 o'clock chip habit.
We're going to actually, next week, we're doing an intervention.
On your chips.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we both eat really well,
mm-hmm.
and we both exercise like badasses since the pandemic started.
Yes, it's true.
Right? Like, my sun's out, fucking guns out. Okay.
Well, you're talking about yourself here. I don't exercise as much as you do.
You don't have to. You have Michelle Obama arms. Some people have Betty Davis eyes.
Yeah. I was going to sing that.
You have Michelle Obama arms. It's totally not fair. But the point is,
yes,
the kids are not following our modeling.
I know. What is up
so
with
does that?
That
mean we're not good role models?
No, I think that we're, I mean, come on.
What the fuck, guys?
Sometimes the only thing that gets me up and onto the yoga mat or the treadmill at the end of like a 50 plus hours week and then putting on the podcast is the idea that this is going to set the tone. And then they're like disappearing into their room, or as most boys do, into the bathroom for a 45 minute respite.
No, listen. So last night when we were talking to Lola about making a plan for this winter.
Yeah.
Because he's taking a leave of absence. I absolutely nailed it with how I've been feeling. I looked at him and I said, "You're a goddamn freeloader." And he looked at me and he goes, "I know."
At least he's honest.
Yeah. So you can't really be a role model if they're not like watching you, because it is almost as if we are empty nesters.
Yes.
But they are downstairs, so we don't have the mental freedom.
That's
like,
right.
We could walk around probably naked if we felt like
it. And they would never even come upstairs.
But, like, we never would take the chance because they're down there somewhere.
Well, speak for yourself.
Not watching us.
It's true.
So in April,
yes.
I decided to start running again simply because I wanted to motivate the boys.
Right, you were trying to get Lola out the door.
I was trying to get Lola out the door.
Because he came home from college with a freshman 15. I'm not going to lie. Would we say 15? Or would we say maybe like 25?
Yeah. So I would run and invite him. And it worked for a little while. And then, let's just be honest, it totally stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started working. And so it was kind of a moot point.
Yeah, because he's working outside doing kind of hard labor all day long. And that's
hard labor.
Air quotes. However, he did drop all the weight because he was working, gardening, weeding, hauling stuff. But that's not the kind of role modeling we were doing.
Well, I was trying to get him to cardiovascular stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Like,
yes.
I don't want him to get heart disease.
Nope.
That's going to be something he needs to keep his eye on.
Yeah.
But I didn't stop running. I ran until I hurt myself.
It's true.
So anyway,
I, in the meantime, as a role model, I do yoga in the living room with gusto. And the problem with my being a role model is that I sweat like a banshee. And so I'm sure it looks like it's no fun because I'm like, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do, you know, it does not look particularly fun. And I did look up what a banshee was. Do you know what a banshee is?
Is it like a hyena?
No.
What?
It's a female spirit whose wailing warns of an impending death in a house.
A banshee. I'm not up on my, like,
she was crying,
voodoo.
She was wailing like a banshee.
Okay.
I thought you could sweat like a banshee, but evidently not. No, not unless death is impending in your house.
Okay, well, here's one of my favorite things to walk in on.
What?
So our living room can be a vast area if you push back a couple of chairs and a table.
It's true.
And then you have the perfect spot to do yoga.
Yes. Well,
also, in the living room is a chair that we call Shy Guy's office.
Right.
And it's a chair he sits in 22 out of 24 hours in a day. And it's got a swoop back, so he can sit in it and put his feet up.
Mm-hmm.
So and the feet actually stick into the hallway, so you can kind of always tell when he's there.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite is to walk down the hall to, like, see what's up,
mm-hmm.
see his feet, come in to see that he's in the chair, feet up, on his phone, 2 feet from you doing yoga. And you guys are just cohabitating like a little bird on a dog or something, like, not even aware of each other.
Oh, no, we are. I ask him every single time, and hey, you want to do yoga with me?
And he says, maybe next time.
Maybe next time is his pat answer. And then I'll sometimes see him out of the corner of my eye. He'll, like, he'll put his phone down and then he'll look over at me during, you know, because there's this same, sometimes I do Pilates and I've been doing the same Windsor Pilates routine since he was little.
Yeah,
he used to do it with me, actually.
Yeah.
So did Lola.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I think Ruby did as well at one point. Anyway, she says some really funny things in that, like, you know.
Something about a tushy.
Yeah.
Something cracks him up.
Kills him. Yeah. So.
So role models.
There's some ways to, there are some other suggestions in terms of how to get your kids to exercise. And one of them is to use exercise as transportation. And I think we've done a really good job of that with Tigger.
With Tigger and Lola. And I think maybe
it's
too
true.
Good in some instances.
Absolutely.
Do you remember middle school?
Yes. But which story are you going to tell here?
Well, when we moved into this house.
Yes.
We had a high schooler, a middle schooler.
Oh, yes.
And a lower elementary schooler.
Yes.
So we thought it would be good for Lola,
mm-hmm.
who was out of shape,
yep.
to walk to school. Well, I just looked on Google Maps recently and saw that that was a 2-mile walk.
And we are at the top of a hill, a steep hill.
A 2-mile walk for a kid to get to school.
Back when I was young.
Well, I don't know. That seems far.
I think it's
to
fine.
Walk to school. That's like a half an hour.
It's true. And he didn't ever complain unless he had to come home in the dark because he was afraid of zombies.
Still is. And who isn't?
Well,
zombies
that's
are
the most
fucking terrifying.
I think one time he called and asked for us to come get him. Do you remember that? Because it had gotten dark and he was freaking out on the
way
home.
That's fair. That's fair.
Because he couldn't stop thinking about zombies.
Yeah. But I think that's a long way to walk. And especially if you think about, we are at the top of a hill. And so the walk home, that is an absolutely.
That's a killer.
Steep hill.
Good for him. Good for his heart.
Good for his heart.
I was thinking about Tigger on his bike. And
oh, my God.
Yes, because he, I mean, not only did he ride it to school all the time and he had so much crap on his body mm-hmm. as he rode that bike in the rain to high school. But once he got to university, he rode his, because he didn't have a car,
mm-hmm.
and then he moved off campus, mm-hmm. and he literally used his bike as transportation through all 4 years at Willamette, and I'm very proud of that until he got a car, and I bet he hasn't touched his bike since then.
So my recollection of Tigger riding his bike to high school
mm-hmm.
isn't so. He walked, and happily so,
oh.
because when he was in high school, we lived close enough to the school where we live now. There's no bus.
That,
we live
right.
too close for the bus.
Right.
But, you know, just far enough away too that on a rainy day, if they're like, can you give me a ride? It's like, of course, because,
yeah
that's, you're going to be soaked.
So maybe when he was late is when he rode his bike, when he was going to be late. Well, was it Lola?
No, but you're not wrong about Tigger. He rode his bike, but it was to everything else. So, we didn't have a kid car at the time, so he would have to borrow ours if he wanted to go somewhere, and that wasn't always available because maybe we're driving one of the kids to something else,
right?
Or it's not home. My truck is a stick shift, and I did not teach him how to drive a stick shift. That's on me. Another episode. Parent
Your
fails.
Greatest failing.
Anyway, Yes. When he finally turned 16, mm-hmm. he said, you know what? I don't think I need my license, because he had a pretty good gig, right? Mm, Nothing was that far. And we were taking him everywhere. And we were like, yeah, but you really need to get it, because that's kind of like going to help us out with all the activities you want to do and that your brothers want to do. Like, we need that third driver. No, I don't think so. I think I'm good. So we said, fine. Then you're going to need to ride your bike. This isn't punitive. We literally aren't available.
Yes.
Like, we're not available.
We have too many children. We're outnumbered.
Yes. So it was like 2 trips across town to piano lessons and 1 12-mile bike ride to see his girlfriend across town. And he said to us, I think I should probably get my license. I mean, that was like an inadvertent, brilliant, tough love move.
Yeah, it was. And that was your idea. And I felt really bad that we were saying that to him. And then he immediately turned on a dime. And I thought, she's brilliant.
Well,
this is why I married her.
But it was exercise.
And it was exercise.
But he was really good about using the car when it was practical at night and stuff. But he never pushed back on wanting a ride to school or wanting the car. He walked to school. It would be like pouring. Mm-hmm. And we're like, Tigger, it's pouring. And he's like, that's okay.
Because can I just remind you?
He's Tigger.
He's Tigger. Okay, my favorite Tigger bike story, and by favorite, I mean the one that just makes my blood boil, is it's when Lola got his bike wheels underneath him. He finally understood biking well enough to be able to go out on a bike ride mm-hmm. with his brother solo. So the two of them were going to leave. And now I have to tell you something about Tigger. He's one of those kids who's super competitive sometimes.
Do I know this story?
I don't know if you do or not.
Kind of on the edge of my seat right now.
I think you do. He loves, when we go bike riding, he's infuriating. He takes off and you can barely see him. He's so far ahead of you because he wants to show off how fast he can ride that bike. So anyway, I tell Lola and Tigger, have a great time. I talk ad nauseum at them about safety. And I look at Tigger and I say, you take good care of your brother. And he's like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And yes.
Of course.
And they take off. So his first.
I don't know this story.
Lola's first big solo bike ride.
Oh, my God.
He could not have been more excited or more nervous.
Yep.
Nerves turned into terror as his brother pulled the usual and sprinted away on his bike, showing off how fast he could ride. Not too long after they left, Tigger was back. He was standing on the porch. He was wringing his hands. He was trying to gather the nerve to tell me what had happened.
Oh, did he lose his brother?
He lost Lola. He had taken off at breakneck speed, never looked back until it was too late.
Oh, my God.
This is what I did.
Was Lola, like, already back in the house?
No, Lola was lost.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so first I freaked out.
Yeah.
And then I called the police.
No, you didn't.
Oh, you bet I did.
Oh, my God.
A neighbor then called us, and in the background, I can hear Lola crying.
Oh.
And the police are at the house, and they're like, well, should we go? And I said, no, because I've sent Tigger back out to look for his brother, right? I'm like, you get out there, and you find your brother. So then Lola, the neighbor calls, you know, like 5 blocks over, a neighbor I don't know, and mm-hmm. says, you know, we've got this kid here. He says, you're the mom.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I said, tell him to wait there. The police are coming, which I'm sure freaked him out. So the police are like, you want us to go get him? And I said, I want you to go get him, and I want you to be in this driveway when his older brother gets back. So they go get him. They bring him back, and they're waiting there, and Tigger drives up, and there are the cops, and there's his brother, and there I am giving him the absolute mother death glare. Mm-hmm. I could have killed the boy. I could not believe it. So that was Lola's big first solo bike ride. So that, you know, so using exercise as transportation sometimes
everybody
works.
Everybody go get exercise. Oh, my God. That is amazing.
Yeah. So there are other things you can do, though, to get your kids up and moving around. Especially if you do things together. Because, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, go do this, it's good for you, or mm-hmm. go do that. But when you go out with the kids, I have noticed such better uptake.
Like when you make it fun.
You make it a social thing, you're out together, you know, then suddenly, like, we set up badminton in the front yard.
Yeah, that brings everybody out. Badminton, and then what's that other game where you, spike ball.
We didn't play spike ball one time.
Yeah. So here's what I'm realizing.
What?
So Shy Guy is like his oldest brother, Tigger.
Yeah.
Incredibly competitive.
Yes.
Incredibly competitive.
Yes.
But where Tigger isn't competitive in general, but he especially thrives when we're playing like board games.
Oh, yeah. He's competitive in board games. But
shy guy when it comes to like outside
any kind of sport,
athletic,
or anything he can turn into a sport.
Oh my God.
Remember when we got him a Fitbit?
We got him a Fitbit, which is another thing you can do to try to like get your kids motivated, is get them something like that. We got him a Fitbit because he was kind of interested. I had one and he thought it was kind of interesting. It became an obsession. He would he would just walk around the house trying to get in his 10,000 steps. He would try to get in his 10,000 steps like within the first recess of school. Like it became absolutely crazy.
Okay, wait. I remember during the winter, however, when he couldn't go outside as much, that he would go up and down the carpeted hallway upstairs to the point where we had to ban it. Because he wanted his 10,000 steps, but I'm pretty sure that he was turning that rug threadbare.
That's why it's buckling, probably.
I bet
that's
you're
why
right.
The carpet's buckling.
Damn you.
But here's a real tip.
Oh, I'm all yours.
Yeah.
What is it?
So it's fairly expensive. Not everyone can afford it, but skiing and snowboarding is a fantastic way to get out and do.
I forgot about. Oh, it's a great way.
Yeah.
Unless so it's got someone who hates it.
So is hiking. Well, and when she says that, she's talking about me. I don't like skiing. I hate it, in fact. But I'm really good at drinking beer in the lodge. And that's kind of a sport if you think about it. But the point is here. So when you're doing like whole family fun exercise shit.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you measure it. Okay. When they get home, how passed out are they?
That's right.
So a hike is like a 6. They're sun kissed and they're tired.
Yeah.
Skiing is like a 9.
They pass
they're
out.
They're dead.
They are literally, they eat, they
sleep
get in the car.
They sleep on the way home.
Eat a bunch of potato chips and chocolate.
Eat dinner like they've never eaten before.
And then
they're passed out on the living room floor, like down into... in their long johns.
I love that.
They're just like, but even now, as like 2 out of 3 are grown men.
Yes.
And they're on the ground in the living room like they're drunk.
I know
so
it.
To me, that is a good sign because that allows us to just do whatever.
To just chill. What's for dinner? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yay. We waited
We're
long enough.
Cheese and crackers. Fuck you guys. See you in the morning. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we did as a whole family, which I think is really a great way to get kids active, because the fact is that if you make exercising fun and they watch you and they're having a good time and pretty soon they're not watching you anymore, they're just having fun all on their own. And so rather than saying, you know, I think one of the things that we did wrong was you can only have this much screen time. We should have said, have as much screen time as you want. Hey, let's go play spikeball.
Yeah.
Let's go do this.
It would have backfired.
I don't think so.
You can have, okay, this is what you just said out loud.
What?
Hey, you can have as much screen time as you want. They would have been like, well, I'm not going to play spikeball with you right now because I haven't had as much screen time
as I want.
Yeah, but you're right. Let's talk about the Couch to 5K program.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, because we did that.
Well, this was the beginning of one of the worst mistakes of my life, which ended up with me running a half marathon with my wife. But we could devote an entire episode to that. We're not going to. I'll let my hip do the talking for that one.
Well, we do need to start. I shouldn't have gotten married, so...
But no, this all started with this idea that we had because the boys just were not getting very much exercise. Was it middle school for Lola?
Oh, shoot. Well, I don't think Tigger was in high school yet. I think we were in like middle school, fifth grade, something like that.
Yeah.
But we were, you know, this is like real life parenting stuff, right? We were battling a household here and then at their dad's house. And at their dad's house, there just wasn't
was
a lot of
gaming.
Structure.
Yeah.
And so it was like, hey, guys. This is Evergreen State College. You just do whatever you want. Kind of bullshit. And so, you know, the effect of that was that we had to try to be real active and healthy on this side to like counterbalance that. So we got this brilliant fucking idea that we were going to do a Couch to 5K program. And if you're not familiar with what that is, oh my God, it's basically like, hey, you can go from literally just having never, ever taken a running step in your life
and
to running
me.
A 5K.
And that was me.
So it's like, oh, here's your first day out. Run for 15 seconds, walk for 5 minutes.
It's an app. You can get it on your phone.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It is a really good app and it works.
And before you know it, you're running A 5K is 3.1 miles, if you don't know that. And before you know it, you're running a mile, something that maybe you thought you'd never be able to do. Right. So we did this with the kids. And 2 out of 3 ain't bad. 2 out of our 3 boys embraced it, sort of. Like, of course, Tigger bounced on his tail the whole way. Yep. Never a complaint. Whatever you say.
Sure, whatever you want. Let's go.
And Shy Guy hated it.
Hates long distance running with all of his heart.
But just did it.
Well, he just did it, and he drug his feet doing it until, of course, we got to the race itself. And in the last, what, in the last half a mile, mm-hmm. he could see the cheering and all the balloons, and all of a sudden he was like, oh, I get it. It's a competition.
Yeah.
And he burned past us so fast.
Like,
I was dying,
do,
and he was
do,
like,
do, 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 do. Yeah. He was out of there.
And then there's our 6'8", should play every sport.
Well, he wasn't 6'8" at the time.
No, he was still big for his age.
He was still big for his age. Yeah. And I don't know what the deal was.
He hated it. He didn't want to do it. And whatever Lola doesn't want to do, Lola doesn't do.
No, and so we all suffered.
You more than anybody, I would
say.
Well,
I took it very personally.
You did.
That he didn't want to participate in this. And that not only did he not want to participate in it, he moved his body in a way that he was like physically hurting himself. So then there were all these reasons why he couldn't do it. And I was ready to javelin him across the football field.
Okay, for those of you who, like me, come from a blended family.
You sound like a PSA.
That's right. I'm going to use my radio voice for you now.
Ooh, sexy.
So when I was training the Couch to 5K with my family, my wife and my son, my biological child, decided to really go at each other because he wanted to prove that he was not capable of doing this. And
he wanted to prove that he was not capable.
That's right.
That's amazing.
And so he would flop his body around until he nearly broke his ankles and crushed his arches. In the meantime, my wife would steam. It would come out of her ears, and she would look at me, and she would talk like some women do when they're very angry, out of the side of their mouth, without moving their jaw. She's doing it again. And finally, we are literally, I can remember this so clearly, and I can't mm-hmm. believe you can't remember this. We were running around the track at the college here,
yep.
and you were fuming, and he was slapping his feet down so hard as he ran, and then he would just like, ugh. And finally, I looked at the two of you, and I stopped running, and I said, you two, keep running together, work it out, and don't talk to me until you're done. I was so done. I think that's when you guys bonded, because now you're like two peas in a pod.
Well, that's the problem.
You're just like each other.
Lola and me.
Because when you don't want to do something, you throw yourself around.
Do it. Fuck you. Yeah,
but
I know.
We all crossed the finish line at the 5K, and I loved that moment.
I know. Do we have photos?
I don't know.
We did cross the finish line, and it was the lamest. I mean, it wasn't lame, but like the
It was lame.
It was the grocery store to grocery store race.
Yes.
But it's like a tradition in this town.
It's the first one of the season, right?
Yeah, it's a 5K you run from one grocery store to the other. They do a really good job with it. For anyone who couldn't hear that was Lola.
I was just going to say.
Pain in the ass, moved at home freeloader standing outside the studio door.
Is he eavesdropping?
But did you hear he confirmed me? We are like the same sometimes with certain things.
He said, it was lame.
Because it is like the... like the lamest 5K our family could choose. I'm sorry. I have probably run in, I have been running off and on since I was 7 years old in organized races. And I've probably run 3 dozen 5Ks. And that was by far the lamest one.
That's really a bummer, you know, because I ran that 5K.
I know.
Only one I've ever run. Then I ran the 10K here, which is really beautiful in our town. The 10K used to be when they used to run mm-hmm. it before COVID. Mm-hmm. Fuck mm-hmm. you, COVID. It was really gorgeous, but the shirt was the worst shirt I've ever seen. And then
it was really bad.
It was gray.
And don't kid yourself.
What?
I run for the swag.
That's right. And then we run the 5K or the half marathon, and the shirt is peach.
Yeah.
I would rather die than wear peach. And
I was looking
forward to the swag.
It's this town because I've run races in Seattle and the stuff has been great, and I wore it into the ground. I have run in Austin, Texas, and mm-hmm. I'm still to this day wearing the shirt. I have run in many places, but it's here. The stuff I get here is ass.
All right, town, get your shit together, and yeah. maybe I will consider running again.
Come on. It's not hard.
Do it for Bonnie.
Pick good colors.
It's not hard. It's just go with Pantone color of the year, for yeah. God's sake.
And those, you know those medals I have when you walk into our office?
I hate those medals hanging there. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, you can fuck all the way off. They're never coming down. That's hardware I earned from two full marathons, three half marathons. Like, ooh. That's legit hardware.
Okay, I'm super impressed.
And like that one big one also is a bottle opener. You're welcome. You can use it anytime. That one from Austin.
Call me silly, but should we get back to the topic?
Okay. So that's how you involve your whole family and you make it fun with shit like that. Skiing, hiking. Our family likes to hike, though.
Yeah, we do. We all love to hike.
We have incredible conversations when we're hiking, too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, let's tell this story. Have we told this story before? I don't think we have.
I don't think so. This is why our boys have pseudonyms. So we took the two younger boys on a hike once. And I don't know where Tigger was. I'm thinking it's irrelevant. He wasn't there. We went on a hike. And you know, when you're on a hiking trail, it's usually pretty narrow. So you're
single file.
Yep. And the boys are and always will be faster than we are. So they're up ahead. We're back a little bit. But we can hear the conversation. And the conversation is like kind of taking a turn. And all of a sudden we hear like, no, that's totally normal. And that happens to me, too, when I'm nervous, like when I get up in front of the class and have to speak. No, it's okay. It's okay. And we're like, holy shit, they're talking about boners.
And they're giving, there's big brotherly advice happening.
Yeah,
it's okay. That's normal. It happens to me when I get up in front of the class.
Which is like one of my favorite things. I love that those conversations are happening organically between the boys, but that we're out in the woods. We're not that far behind, but they must have thought we were like still in the car because they are absolutely having a conversation about boners, and we just kept hiking. We're like, this is the gift that keeps on giving right here, because fuck if I'm going to have that convo.
Okay, my favorite story of this hike, this was the Lake Ann hike, I think, up in the in the Cascades here.
Yeah, sure.
And my favorite part of this hike, oh, it's hard. There were three very funny things that happened.
Is this the boots? The hiking boots?
That might have been that one, too. Oh, my God,
that was funny. This is an adventure.
This hike
this was
had
just
everything.
A day hike.
Yes. Okay, so we're coming back down. It's been a long, exhausting hike, and Lola has to go to the bathroom. And we're like, that's okay, just, go off the trail over there. And he's like, no, I have to go to the bathroom. And we're like, oh, God, okay, well, you're going to have to go dig a hole. And he says, okay.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows, because he's been
in Explorers Club.
Yes.
Yeah, so he knows what's up.
He's an explorer, and so off he goes. And so we're sitting there, and we're chatting.
He's been gone a while.
We're gone quite a while.
Yucking it up with Shy Guy, telling our, having our own funny experience that I don't even know if I could translate it to this podcast.
It might not even sound funny, but.
But anyway, we finally yell, are you almost done?
Are you okay? Hey, Lola. And we hear, yeah. And I said, well, how much longer is it going to be? And he says, well, I'm just getting done whittling my stick.
So what does that mean, everybody? That's the stick he's going to use
to dig the hole
to create the bathroom.
So we've been 20 minutes probably waiting while he whittled his stick.
Yeah. So that's a family like.
Oh, it's legendary.
Yeah. Are you almost done? To whatever it is.
Yes.
Dinner being made, folding laundry. I don't fucking know. And the answer is universally, I'm almost done. Whittling my stick. It's absolutely brilliant. That's the trip our boots broke too, but we'll save that for another.
Why would we save that? That's a funny story.
Okay, I'll tell it quickly.
Okay.
So we're hiking and Bonnie and I are wearing our like old school boots.
These are leather boots I've had from
What's that fucking PCT Reese Witherspoon movie?
Oh yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
but everyone knows.
So we're wearing hiking boots like similar to that, like a la that. And Bonnie's talking about her boots and how great they are. And all of a sudden, spontaneously, the outsole completely disembarks from the upper on her boot.
And I'm we're literally almost to the end of the
so she's got nothing. It's like an absolute shit situation. So she unlaces it and she brilliantly ties the outsole back up to the upper and then is able to lace it onto her foot and is like dealing with it. And I then, like a pompous asshole, start talking about how great my boots are.
Oh, she's laughing at me. And I'm steaming mad that she's laughing at me.
I'm sure I am. Yes, and, my dear. I'm sure I am. And I'm like, blah, blah, my boots, blah, blah, my boots. And like mid-sentence, the outsoles on both of my boots let go.
They just give up the ghost.
Of the upper, but not on the heel, only the toe. And so I trip. I mean, it's like the most classic and quickest karmic response ever. So then I too have to tie mine. And so we get to the top, we like have lunch or whatever. We're hiking back down. Ruby the dog caster is with us. We pause because Lola's got to go to the bathroom. He's whittling his stick. Our stuff is tied on. Shy Guy is rolling around on the ground because he finds the entire thing hilarious, you know, and he's like six.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, and we get home and they pass out. And we're like, see, we're fucking really good parents.
We're good role models.
Look at that. Damn
it.
We laughed. We cried.
We whittled.
We whittled. Oh my God, that's such a great word, whittle. So I think the bottom line is involve the family, make it fun, and make it, you know, social like that too.
And God, write the stories down because I'm lucky to be married to somebody who remembers all the stories. I'm
well,
so
for
glad.
For now, I do.
I know we should write them down because you're not getting any younger.
No, I'm not. In fact, our birthdays are coming up.
I know. I'm so excited.
So.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I used to be more excited about birthdays. You know, anymore, they're like, actually, that's not true. As a two-time cancer survivor, I will take every birthday.
Right?
I
Don't
can
you
get.
Celebrate every birthday and every wrinkle?
Uh huh.
I sure do for you.
Thank you.
I do.
And there's so many to celebrate.
I do.
Have you seen my eyes?
Yeah. Well, I'm getting to the point where, you know, I'm still wearing a hat backwards most days, and I'm okay with that. But it used to be I would look in the mirror and I would see my temples because they would be still visible with the hat on backwards. And I'd be like, oh my God, I have a couple gray hairs. Now I put my hat on, I'm getting ready for work, I'm brushing my teeth, I look at my temples and I go, oh, I still have a couple brown hairs. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, the pandemic will do that to you.
Well, okay, I'll tell you, the 2016 election, pandemic, all the bullshit that's gone on in the last 4 years, this summer, pandemic alone, like, forget the pandemic, everything that's been going on with social justice.
Oh, Jesus.
I have like a brown hair left in my temples.
And then the entire state bursts into flames.
The entire state bursts into flames.
And so does her hair.
We can't breathe. My hair's on fire. There's no brown in my temples.
And to top the whole goddamn thing off, RBG kicks the bucket.
I'm telling you fucking what.
Here you go, 2020.
Fuck you, Mitt Romney.
Oh, yeah, Mitt Romney. Oh, don't even get started.
You don't exercise with your family, you asshole. You put your dog on top of the car. Anyway, let's talk about mowing the lawn.
Why?
Because that's a really great way for your kids to get exercise.
But you won't let them mow the
lawn.
Unless
you're my son.
Okay, I married a control freak.
I mean, talk about a control freak. The previous owner, God bless him, Jerry, the front yard is like a park. It's like a putting green.
It's beautiful.
And I take a lot of pride in it.
You do.
And the fucking boys will never mow it the way I want it. So they can mow the back.
Yes.
Right? Because the back is like sinking. And the back has issues.
And there's a big hill. And so that's great exercise for them.
It's great exercise for them. But the front is flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's square. It's curvy like a putting green. I edge it and I weed whack and I mow. And they're not allowed to. So,
if you're going to use lawn mowing
right of place
as an exercise, don't marry Ellen.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. I really have a lot of pride wrapped up in the front yard.
You know, I did see one suggestion for getting your kids to exercise and love exercising, and that was to plan vacations.
That's interesting.
That were exercise focused, which I love to do. I like to be really active on my vacations. I married somebody who really loves to just chill and be on the beach. And I'm like, what can we do to make both of us happy? So we ended up planning this trip in 2017. We've taken two big trips, I think. Well, no. Well, we took a trip to Hawaii, and for us, that was big. Anytime you take five people anywhere, it's a big trip because it's so expensive. Anyway, we planned this trip to Costa Rica and went to Nosara, which is on the Nicoya Peninsula. And you should really get a pen or a pencil out and write that down because it's the best place to go.
Yeah,
this beach is gorgeous, and it's so well known for surfing.
Yeah, it was really, really nice.
And so we planned this trip, and I'm like, I'm going to take yoga until it kills me, and I'm going to get up on a surfboard, and I want to show my kids that it can be done at my age. And so,
oh my God.
We get there, we all take surf lessons. We had an absolute blast, and I you know, try to take out poor shy guy with my surfing, because I got up once. I got it exactly once, and I felt like I was in the green room. I was on the biggest wave. I was like,
it was like 6 inches.
It was 6 inches of foam.
Yeah. But I don't think that matters because you felt what it felt like.
Yes.
You know, you got that feeling you can then like take that out further.
I would like to go again, but that means I just have to get my stomach back in shape. And God, that takes so much work. Yeah. Anyway, the kids loved it. And Shy Guy he and I can be in the water for literally ever. Tigger. So here's their personalities in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Tigger goes out as far as he can. He's out with the surfers. He's got no surfboard, and he's perfectly fine body surfing. And he's out there where the sharks are going to eat him or an undertow is going to take him away. And he's happy with that. That's cool. And then we have Lola, who is precision. Mm-hmm. He's all about how does it work? What do you do? And he analyzes, and he got up on the goddamn board just like it was. And he was 6'8 at that point or close to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's Shy Guy. And Shy Guy is my buddy in the water because he's a little afraid of the water, but I love it so hard that I could literally be in the water all day long. And I'll be on I like to body surf the most, but this was fun being on the surfboard. And he's out there with his boogie board. And as long as I'm like right there, we're there forever and a day. And then there's my lovely wife who's on the beach.
On the beach, filming it all.
Filming it all.
I'm not a water person. But yeah, you're right. You really nailed it. The day that we all took surf lessons, it pissed me off so bad because Shy Guy, and this is just his superpower. He's athletic. And he's just naturally strong. He got up and caught a wave the first time.
And then he was like, huh, I'm good.
I like this, but I enjoy boogie boarding more.
Right.
I'm like, fuck you.
Well, you know what it is?
I never caught a wave.
He has an amazing sense of balance. Yeah. He knows where his center of gravity is.
He does.
He's really good at that. And I think that's from all the ball he has played.
But we have a great video that I caught because I was sitting in the surf, like just legs out with the water, you know, rushing up over me because I love that so much. Anyway, I've been doing that since I was little. I like sitting in the surf. But then I had an iPhone and I was running the camera and I was catching you guys. And that really was delightful for me to watch all your joy until you started coming in. You caught a wave. You were super stoked.
I was in the green room.
Threw your arms up in celebration, which threw off your balance. You fell backwards. The surfboard shot out. He turned, Shy Guy, who was on his own wave, coming in on his boogie board. He turns just as he sees the
my board.
Surfboard coming at you. And I'm filming. I'm not being a mom at this point because I should have dropped the camera and run out and tried to intercept. He like leans back Matrix style as the board slides across his face.
But
and
he's got a
screaming.
Yelp. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was a fun vacation. And it really did create a sense of joy of being out in the water together. And I think that's the whole goal, right, of exercising and teaching your kids the love of exercising. Make sure they're having a good time.
Well, and the other thing that you do that's so brilliant on our trips is we had to for this to get to Nosara, but we don't rent cars.
No.
So when we are out not only navigating and figuring out public transportation, but we're on foot, and that's fine.
Oh, God, we
walk
and walk.
That's fine, because you know
walk.
What happens?
Exercise.
When we get back to the hotel or the
they crash.
That's fucking right. And then you know what we do?
Whatever we want.
We go out and drink.
It's true. We have gone, in Berlin.
We lock them in
Goodnight,
the Airbnb.
Boys.
and go out onto the city streets of Berlin and find random places to have our own cultural experience.
Yep.
And we walk. We're getting exercise too. So there.
And we and the arm, you know, it's the arm. It's like weightlifting.
Yeah.
You need a beer.
Fill this glass really
really full.
Make it as heavy as possible because I am now going to curl it up to my face multiple times.
Oh, my God. This week we were so desperate for happiness that we actually had a dance party while we were lifting, doing our arm shred.
Yeah.
And I think I actually threw my back out because we were doing so many moves while we were arm shredding and doing our weightlifting. It was a blast in the bedroom, kept no one awake. So obviously Lola got some sleep or got some exercise that day because he crashed
hard. Obviously something shifted in our brains during the pandemic because
that was weird.
We lift weights in our room before bed almost every night. It's awesome.
But it was really funny to do it.
To music.
To
I know,
music.
Because then I'm like dancing, but I'm holding out these 10-pound dumbbells, and I'm like, this hurts. This hurts. This hurts. This is terrible.
Well, I think it's getting late. We better go get our dumbbells.
I know. We got to go get our shred on.
Oh, our shred on. I love that. Speaking as dumbbells, we thank you.
That was really good.
For being with us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We just really appreciate it. And we just can't thank you enough.
You are our hearts. If you could see me right now, you would know that I was making a little heart with my two little hands.
Let me just move down my computer screen here. Yeah, I can confirm
that
everybody
that
she's making a heart. So listen, if you do love us as much as you say you do, tell one friend about us. And then go follow us.
That's right. If you haven't followed us, please do
rate, review, subscribe. Go visit us on Instagram and Facebook at I Shouldn't Have Had Kids and Twitter. I hate Twitter, but if you use
I
it,
love
we're
Twitter.
SHH Kids. And if you want to drop us a line and share an experience you had as a parent or the universal thing we all were, kids,
yeah,
email us at ishouldn'thavehadkids@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we really do appreciate all the emails that we are getting, so thank you. Keep it up.
I would like to actually, I have a challenge for email stories.
Okay.
I would like to hear your favorite stories surrounding Halloween when you were a kid, because Halloween's coming
spooky
up.
Spooky Halloween.
And oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear what kind of shenanigans you did as a kid. What age were you when you stopped trick-or-treating? Because, you know, there's a cutoff,
ladies
and gentlemen, and we need to know when it is.
Yeah.
So if you've got a story from your own childhood that you'll share with us or something funny that happened with your kids since you've had kids, we want both of those. Please share them with us, and we'll bring some good Halloween tales to the show.
Because good call, Bon.
October is here.
God. Are we all like just trying to get through this year because we think something's going to change in January?
I know,
like,
right?
What's the fucking deal with that? Is like Santa Fauci going to like go, I have a vaccine and I'll be coming down your chimney? Like, I mean, we're wishing away 2020 so hard. But why?
Well, here's the deal. Until we have a vaccine, it's important to laugh.
That's
and it's
right.
important to stay connected. So we'll meet you back here next Tuesday.
That's right. Same bat time.
Same bat channel. Bye-bye, Robin.
I'm Robin. Does that make you Batman?
That's right.
Bye, Batman.